Greetings, and may the grace and peace of Jesus Christ be with you. I'm the Reverend Lindsay Borden, and on behalf of the good people of the Second Presbyterian Church in the city of New York, who've mostly been vaccinated, have mostly voted, and are eager to see what the future holds, I welcome everyone to part one of our stay-at-home worship podcast for Sunday, June 27th, featuring our scripture readings. As always, let's begin with prayer. O God, our companion in life and death, your love is steadfast and never ends. Our weeping may linger with night, but you give joy in the morning. Through your word, touch us with your healing grace that, restored to wholeness, we may live out our calling as your resurrection people. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Our first reading from Paul's second letter to the Corinthian church centers on the faithful use of money, and so is always a timely message for United States Christians. Paul specifically talks here about a collection that the Gentile churches are taking up for the poor in Jerusalem. He offers a view of stewardship as giving out of abundance for the sake of economic equality. Reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 7 through 15, let's listen for the word of God. Now, as you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in utmost eagerness, and in our love for you. So we want you to excel also in this generous undertaking. I do not say this as a command, but I am testing the genuineness of your love against the earnestness of others. For you know the generous act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that by his poverty, you might become rich. And in this matter, I am giving my advice. It is appropriate for you who began last year not only to do something, but even to desire to do something, now finish doing it, so that your eagerness may be matched by completing it according to your means. For if the eagerness is there, the gift is acceptable according to what one has, not according to what one does not have. I do not mean that there should be relief for others and pressure on you, but it is a question of a fair balance between your present abundance and their need, so that their abundance may be for your need, in order that there may be a fair balance. As it is written, the one who had much did not have too much, and the one who had little did not have too little. So ends the first reading. One of the gospel writer Mark's favorite writing techniques is to place two stories in a sandwiched relationship. So story A, story B, and back to story A. Our gospel reading today begins with the healing story of a young girl connected with the synagogue leader Jairus, interrupts that story with another healing story of a woman who's had a hemorrhage for 12 years, and then finishes off with the raising of the young girl, even though she had apparently died while waiting for the delayed Jesus to arrive. A lot happens in this passage. So let's listen now closely for God's word from Mark chapter 5, verses 21 to 43. When Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered around him, and he was by the sea. Then one of the leaders of the synagogue named Jairus came, and when he saw Jesus, fell at his feet and begged him repeatedly, My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her so that she may be made well and live. So Jesus went with him. And a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For if she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well," immediately her hemorrhage stopped, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" He looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, some people came from the leader's house and to say, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But overhearing what they said, Jesus said to the leader of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." He allowed no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the leader of the synagogue, Jesus saw a commotion, people weeping and wailing loudly. When he had entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a commotion and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at them. They laughed at him, rather. Then he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him, and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha cum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And immediately the girl got up and began to walk about. She was 12 years of age. At this, they were overcome with amazement. Jesus strictly ordered them that no one should know this and told them to give her something to eat. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.